As hopefully you know, we are in the middle of a series looking at the looking at each of the 11 regions beyond values that have recently been published. If you haven't picked up a leaflet, I think there are still some out in the on the table out there. Please grab one. And I just wanted to start off by reminding us what these values are about. It says, we believe that our values are best displayed, seen, and modelled through our people. That's us. Rather than a list detailed in a document. When someone comes among us in regions beyond, they will find an expression of our values passionately on display in our lives. The 11 values are therefore a way of giving this definition. Our hope is that they will help us put our glorious Saviour, Jesus Christ, on full display. This isn't really an academic exercise that we're doing here as we're going through these things. This is something that's kind of designed to get into us and to become part of who we are individually and as people that are part of the Regions Beyond movement. So today we're looking at number 5, embracing the poor. Now I don't know what comes into your mind when you know that you're going to be hearing a sermon about the poor. And I've heard some where, you know, kind of at the end of it, you've just been through this steady slope all the way down, and at the end you kind of have this guilt, and you're grabbing for your checkbook and you know, basically writing checks that are going to mean that you're going to end up being the poor. And that really isn't what my heart is for this message this morning. I hope it's an encouragement. I hope it is a challenge. I've tried not to shirk around the maybe some of the difficult subjects, but I didn't want to leave everybody depressed and demoralised at the end of it. You can let me know when we get there whether I've been successful in that. I don't think God's heart for the poor is something that should leave us depressed and demoralised. I think God's heart for the poor is something that should leave us encouraged and challenged and determined to reflect that in who we are. So maybe let's start maybe somewhere that perhaps you wouldn't expect us to be starting. We're going to go, we're in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas have returned from what we now know as their first missionary journey, but I guess for them it would have been their journey. And they're spending time back in the church. I'd almost put doing a little bit of R&R, rest and relaxation. But you can't, to be honest, I've never imagined Paul doing any kind of rest and relaxation. So, but anyway, they're back at the church in Antioch, and we read in Acts. We got a lot of scripture which I've kind of put up on the screen. So if you want to, you can dive through your Bibles, or you can read behind. So Acts 15, it says, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Now we know the story, don't we? Or hopefully we know the story. If we don't know the story, then maybe we should know the story, because it was at this subsequent meeting in Jerusalem, which we now know as the Council of Jerusalem, that the apostles agreed on the theology for the salvation of the Gentiles, which, in case you were wondering, is you and me. Essentially, the issue was, could Gentiles become Christians without effectively first becoming Jews? And in the account in Acts, we hear from Peter about his vision in Joppa, study, and the subsequent salvation of the Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. And Paul and Barnabas tell of what they've seen God do on their journey amongst the Gentiles. And then we have that wonderful demonstration, don't we, of God's kind of big picture plan for salvation, where James stands up and he quotes something that was prophesied by Amos, getting on for 800 years earlier, that probably didn't make a great deal of sense to him at the time, nor to his listeners, but at this particular moment made perfect sense to James. And then James makes this judgment. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God effectively with the whole Jew thing. Decision made. And actually, it was a pretty momentous decision and something that affects each one of us here. So job done. The apostles in Jerusalem, they write a letter confirming their decision for Paul and Barnabas to take back to Antioch with them. And then they send some of the Jerusalem brothers to journey back. But if we look at Paul's account of this meeting in his letter to the Galatians, and I realise that if you're theologically inclined, there is debate between whether the account in Galatians 2 of Paul and Barnabas' journey to Jerusalem is the same account in Acts 15, but I'm going to toe the Reformed standard generally accepted line and say that it is. We see that there's more than just theology that's sorted out at this meeting. There are also some clear roles that are defined. Paul and Barnabas are commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter and those in the Jerusalem church are commissioned to spread the word amongst the Jews. And there's this thing that where the right hand of fellowship is extended to Paul and to Barnabas. This was an important gathering. But if we look into Paul's account, he doesn't finish with kind of maybe the things that you might expect of it, that he finishes. He doesn't finish with the decision. He doesn't finish with the fact that he's commissioned. He doesn't finish with this right hand of fellowship as the kind of the apostle who didn't spend time with Jesus now being accepted by the apostles who did. Please grant me a little bit of poetic license here as I kind of summarize and then move on. So Paul and Barnabas, they arrive in Jerusalem, and some believers there who are Pharisees have stated that the Gentiles should be circumcised before they can be saved. And then there's much debate between the apostles and the elders. Peter gives his account of the God saving the Gentiles, and Paul and Barnabas, they give theirs. And then James stands up and makes this decision. And Paul and Barnabas are recognized and they're commissioned us to go to the Gentiles, just as Peter and the Jerusalem apostles are commissioned to the Jews. And now it's time for Paul and Barnabas and the others to set off home. And just as they're leaving, somebody calls out to Paul. Paul, before you go, just one more thing.